We are recording now. Okay, welcome to the first study of 1 Timothy. It's more of an introduction in some ways, but we're going to get started. I think everyone has got a sheet before them for lesson one.
We hear anything about church and health.
And so the first one is true or false.
I just read that.
True or false? If you are looking for 1 Timothy, you need to go to Sibley, Iowa.
Oh, that's
true or false?
Oh, that's cute.
It could be true or false. Depends how you look at it. But it's false. You're looking at the book. The book of 1 Timothy is not found in Sibley, Iowa. It'll be found in your Bible. Number two, true or false? All the books in the New Testament that start with a T are together in one group. True or false? All the books that start with a T in the New Testament are in one, are just kind of grouped together. They're all in one place. True or false? Or are they different places?
1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy,
Titus,
Jude and Revelation. I'll get there. That's how I have to do it.
It's true. All the T's. First and Second Thessalonians, First and Second Timothy, and Titus.
Oh, okay.
All the T's are in one.
That I have.
All right. Who wrote the letter or epistle of 1 Timothy? Who wrote this book?
Paul.
Paul. That's the name that goes into the blank there. Yeah, Paul wrote this letter or this epistle of 1 Timothy.
Why is it called 1 Timothy?
Okay, that's a good question. Bobby asked, why do we call it 1 Timothy? Why do we call it 2 Timothy? The reason is, tell us, Bruce.
I got a mouthful. The first letter to Timothy and the second letter to Timothy.
By Paul?
Right. Okay. Why did Paul write to Timothy?
Well, he was his
Timothy needed encouragement.
Yeah. Timothy was, as far as we know, he was a pastor in Ephesus. And he's also a convert of Paul, one of the converts of Paul, as he shared the gospel. And we'll find out a lot more about Timothy in a little bit later here. But a good question. So we know that Paul is writing to Timothy, and what does he write to Timothy about? That's what we're going to learn, and that's what we'll study. And that's why it's called 1 Timothy. It's Paul's letter to Timothy on a lot of different topics and different things. Number four is 1 Timothy is a part of what is known as the blank epistles in the New Testament that deals with church blank. What goes in the first blank? 1 Timothy is a part of what is known as the blank epistles. It's called the pastoral epistles. Pastoral. So Paul is writing to Pastor Timothy about some things that he needs to know. And the New Testament, the pastoral epistles deals with church blank. In the blank, you put leadership. Church leadership. So the pastoral epistles are, go ahead, take one, just take, there's two pages there.
Okay, thank you.
The pastoral epistles are 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus. Those three books are called the pastoral epistles.
Say that again.
1 and 2 Timothy and Titus are the pastoral epistles.
Okay.
Better known as.
Hey, Dina.
Hi.
We were wondering if you were going to show up, Dina. But we're glad you're here.
Oh, thank you.
I thought Denny Kelling said he was going to come.
Oh.
He's been looking forward to a Bible study to come to. And I thought he'd be here today for sure, but he probably forgot.
Well, Donna's here. Yeah. I am. Good.
Yeah, Donna surprised us as well. So let's go on then to the first chapter of 1 Timothy. We're just going to take a look at verses 1 and 2 and then kind of do some overview kind of things here on this book just to get our feet wet on what lies ahead for us. So would someone like to read the first two verses of 1 Timothy, please?
Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the command of God our Father and in Christ Jesus our hope, to Timothy, my true son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord.
Okay, what do you usually call the beginning of an epistle? It's like these first two verses, pretty much they're a lot alike.
It's a greeting, isn't it?
It's a greeting. Also known, what's a fancy word? You probably
salutation?
Learned it.
Salutation?
A what?
Salutation?
Yes!
Okay.
Way to go, Dina. You must have been a teacher.
I remember something.
The salutation is always kind of the beginning of a letter, and they all kind of start. When Paul writes a letter, he basically says different things, but he always writes his name. He says his name and that he's an apostle, which is interesting because that's... How does Paul refer to himself? As an, I just said the answer there.
Apostle.
As an apostle. And what does the word apostle mean? Apostle. If I gave you a penny. What's another way you can say a penny? What is a penny?
1 cent.
Yes. That's it. Dina again.
It's a good thing you came.
An apostle is...
Oh, 1 cent.
1 cent.
Oh, guys.
Oh, 1 cent.
Someone who is sent.
Oh.
One person who is sent by God to go somewhere. To take what God has given to him.
Wow.
So apostle means 1 cent.
1 cent.
1 cent. So yeah, you just got to get the kind of right in your mind of going like, okay, it's not talking about the value of money. It's just talking about...
S-E-N-T. Though.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Cent. S-I-N-C-E. No.
No.
S-I-N-T. Sent.
Yeah.
S-E-N-T.
What did I say? S-I-N-T. Oh, yeah. That would be sent. S-E-N-T. Sent. One.
The 1 cent is.
O-N-E. 1 cent. That's what apostle means. Someone who is sent. So when Patty Griffith goes to Tanzania, she is somebody that is 1 cent. As a church, we pray, you know, whenever you have a commissioning or a prayer for somebody going somewhere to do missions somewhere, it's kind of like they're doing what an apostle does. They take to help the people where they're going to go and... point them to Jesus and help them to learn about Jesus in a lot of different ways. Okay, now if you notice in this salutation, what's a salutation?
A greeting.
Yeah, the greeting. If you notice in the salutation that Paul uses three words at the end, which is grace,
mercy and peace.
And it's very common throughout the New Testament books of the Bible, in the New Testament, that the salutation uses two of these three words very often. Which two do you think they are?
Grace and peace.
Yeah, grace and peace. You only find in one book in the New Testament where it uses the word mercy other than here. And that's Jude. The book of Jude uses mercy. Which I thought was kind of interesting. You know? These are kind of things we read them a lot, but we don't really stop and think about what what or why they wrote this. But so if you go to someone's house, you can always say, grace and peace be with you. And if they really need some blessing, you better add the word mercy. And may God have mercy on you as well. So that's just a little thing there. And of course, you know, Paul uses Christ Jesus. Now, Christ, if you put that, what it means in the Hebrew, well, Christ in the Greek, it is a Greek word, Christos, but Christ means Messiah. So here you have the Apostle Paul referring to Jesus as Messiah Jesus, which is very interesting. But he, you know, he uses the word Christ, but Christ is the same word for Messiah that we find in the Old Testament. And it plays a huge part in the prophets and the writings in the Old Testament that was always pointing forward to the coming of the Messiah. And then Jesus is the Messiah, but yet you don't have all the Jews on board in believing that. You have some who do come to believe in Jesus as the Messiah, and you have some that do not.
I sure.
Did you get it all done?
I think so, yeah.
You think so? You need someone to check you out to see if it...
No. I've checked it a bunch of times.
Mm-hmm, I'm sure.
Probably not right yet either.
That's okay. Nobody expects perfection.
I would like that.
All right, number two, it says, what can we learn about the relationship between Paul and Timothy in the first two verses? What would you say would be the relationship? Describe the relationship between Paul and Timothy.
They both had faith in,
okay.
And Paul considered him a son in faith because he was a younger fellow.
There you go. Very important. Paul is the older believer. Timothy is probably the next generation. He's younger. And so you got the older one who is passing on his wisdom, the things that he has learned about Jesus Christ, to the younger pastor, who's Timothy. And so Paul knows that he's coming to the end of probably his life or to the end of his ministry, but he was passing the baton on to Timothy. And to say, now here is something that you're going to need to know or how to deal with, because it's going to happen in churches wherever you go. And you might come into contact with other pastors that this will be very helpful for them too. So what you have then going on there too is that Timothy is being discipled by Paul. So he's younger, Paul is older, and Timothy plays a really special part in the Paul's life because he calls him son. He's my son. He refers to him as son many times, which means he feels very close to Timothy. And it's kind of like there's no one quite like Timothy in his life, that he is a son. So it's pretty close. They have a pretty close relationship there as well. People, and what they share really in common with one another is what Kathy said earlier, is that they both have the same faith. They both are Christians. They both are learning as they go here in the early church as it gets its grounding and its footing in the world here.
Now, did they have any schooling or prep before they went out this? Like,
good question. We know that Paul went to Arabia for like 3 years.
Okay.
But I go like, where would he go to be taught about the things of the Lord?
Yeah.
Seems like we talked about Sinbad the sailor. But that's kind of like where, in light of today's world, because Paul went 3 years to Arabia to kind of, before he went into ministry, started pastoring, it's kind of where you get seminary. How long is seminary to when you become a pastor?
Three years.
It's 3 years.
Three. Well, 3 years and then a year.
Well, there's some that have a year of
working underneath them.
Yes, yeah. Right. And like on the job training type of thing for a year before they get into another church or they get ordained or something like that. And again, it depends which kind of church you're a part of. But typically, you got 3 years of study and very intense, you know. And I'm going like, I really didn't like school unless I really was interested in it. But what they throw at you in seminary is so much reading. That's where these came in. I didn't have glasses until I got into seminary because I couldn't see the board from where I sat in the desk until I got glasses. I'm like, okay, now I can read what it says here.
And where did you go to seminary again?
In Fergus Falls.
Fergus Falls.
Yep. Fergus Falls, Minnesota. All right, where are we at? Number three, an overview of 1 Timothy. Now, this is kind of the entire book. In chapter 1, we will see personal blank and blank. They both start with an E. Go ahead, Dina, say it.
Encouragement.
Yes!
I can read.
Encouragement, and the next E would be exhortation.
Exhortation.
What does exhortation mean? Hope somebody knows what exhortation.
Moving it out. Exporting it out.
Exhortation.
Oh, exhortate.
Yeah, it's more of a.
I put export.
No, exhort.
Exhort.
It's proclaiming. Exhortation.
Exhort. Spell it for that.
E X H O R T. A T I O N.
It's
very important to exhort. It's like, this is very important. I am proclaiming that you need to know this.
Kind of teaching?
It's a teaching, yeah. It'd be a good way to say it too. There's a number of ways you can describe it, but if you do have a dictionary at home or if you've got one on your iPhone, look it up.
Well, where do you see that in chapter 1?
We'll get to that, Karen. Don't be so like an eager beaver here. Eager starts with an E. But there's going to be a lot of exhortation throughout 1 Timothy, which will be very interesting for us as we get into it. Okay, so just chapter 1 is encouragement and exhortation. That's kind of what's being dealt with there. In chapter 2 and 3, it's going to be talking about ministry. Helping Timothy as a pastor in ministry. What is Paul going to tell him on ministry? Because he's been in it for a good while. And he's up there in years. And then chapters 4 and 6 is going to deal with leadership. The leadership of being in ministry. Or a ministry leader. So that's kind of an overview of 1 Timothy, what it's going to deal with. And then some more, if we look at just the first chapter, a little bit more detail. According to Paul, the gospel is the only blank that can make the godless blank. According to Paul, in the first chapter of 1 Peter.
Did you read the first chapter?
No, we just did verses 1 and 2. That's what we read.
How are we going to know that?
You're not going to know that. You're going to just say, pass, I give up.
The only source.
The gospel is the only message that can make the godless godly. The gospel is the only message that can make the godless godly. And this is according to Paul. You know, of course, he's been around the block. This isn't his first rodeo, you know. Who does that remind you of when you hear that? Tom Selleck. Reverse mortgage.
Oh, yeah.
But This is not my first rodeo. Okay, I watch too much TV, I guess. Number two, Paul reminds Timothy that the message of Christ must remain the blank of his ministry.
The focus.
Yes.
Priority.
The focus, the priority, yeah. That'd be good too. So that's what he's saying to him, you know? There's so many things that go along with ministry, but do not forget the main thing. The focus is the gospel and how that is to be given and lived out before people. Three, Paul's first exhortation to Timothy is to stay in blank. Name a city that Timothy is the pastor in at this
point. Ephesus.
Yeah, Ephesus. Yeah. So his first exhortation, not importation or exportation, is in Ephesus. He's a pastor in Ephesus. What's the modern country today where you'd find Ephesus?
Turkey?
Yes. Turkey. At that time, it's called Asia Minor, that area. But it's modern-day Turkey today. It was where Ephesus is. Ephesus is not like it is. Ephesus today is only a bunch of ruins compared to what is happening at this point in time in history. I should ask you this. I got some other details here. What do you know about Timothy? What do you know about Timothy? Anybody?
That's why we're here, Pastor.
That's right.
I think his mother and grandmother were believers.
Yes, and what was his mother's name?
His father was a Greek, Lois. That's the grandmother is Lois?
Grandmother's name is Lois.
Mother is Lois.
And his mother's name was?
Grace.
Eunice.
Yes.
You don't hear that name very often anymore. Eunice. I only know of one Eunice. That's Tim Roswit's mom's name is Eunice. Okay, where was he from? Where was Timothy from? Do you know the town or the city or village he was from? He was from, you'll find it in Acts 16, verse 1.
Can't pronounce it.
I can. I just want to see if you can use your Bible correctly and
16:1.
Acts 16:1.
Lystra.
Lystra, correct.
Lystra.
It sounds kind of Dutch, doesn't it? Lystra. But it's not. It's not in Holland or anything like that. Lystra. And his mom was Eunice. She was Jewish. His father was Greek. You know, and at that time, it was kind of interesting. You'd have a marriage between a Jew and a Gentile. And we don't know really much about his father at all, but we do know that Timothy was very much influenced in the faith by his mom and his grandmother to be who he became and who he is. Another thing we know, I've said before, that Timothy is probably one of Paul's first converts to Christianity. Remember, the Christian faith was brand new at this time. They were breaking new ground by talking about a man by the name of Jesus Christ who rose again on the third day after being crucified and buried, and he came to life, and to explain that. But that, without that part, you don't have a gospel. If Jesus did not come back from the dead, there would be no such thing as a gospel, which means the good news. There would be no good news. There would be no hope. We would still be in our sin. And so Timothy joined Paul. Here's one for you. It's kind of like The Price is Right here. behind door number one, door number two, or door number three. But Paul was on three missionary journeys. Which missionary journey do you think Timothy joined Paul? One, two, or three?
Two.
You say two? Correct! Correct!
Give that girl an A plus.
You're being smart.
Wait till recess. We'll get even with you. Yeah. And so Timothy is named in six of Paul's letters. That's just information. You know, he's named in 2 Corinthians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, and Philemon. So he's named by Paul quite often. And it was Paul who sent Timothy from Ephesus. To which other place did Paul send Timothy on his third missionary journey?
I think it starts with a C.
Yes.
But I can't think of what it is. But for some reason, I know it is a C.
It is really the where you never would want to go to have a church. And it starts with a C.
Yeah.
What is that place? It was full of problems.
Colossians. It's
got to be Corinthians.
Yes.
Corinthians, okay.
It's Corinthian. Yeah. Corinth.
Corinth. There you go.
He sent Timothy to Corinth, to the church there, which I find is like, oh, man. Any place but Corinth. And that was on the third missionary journey that Paul did that. So he gave Timothy some time here to learn some things and to be used in that location. Corinth is in which modern day country today? Where would you find Corinth today?
Greece or Turkey?
Yes, in Greece.
Greece. Yeah. Greece. So you think of Greece, that's the gospel then has gone from Jerusalem all the way to Greece, which means the gospel has gone into where? Greece is in what bigger?
Europe.
Yeah, Europe. A couple other things we learn about Timothy is was he a very confrontive kind of a guy? Or was he timid? Timid. Dina, what do you think?
I think he's timid.
Yes!
Well, you know what you said?
He was timid.
Timid.
Yeah, he was kind of shy, and he wasn't what you would... He was just kind of like an opposite of Paul. Paul was very bold and blunt and tell you like it is. Timothy was just the opposite. Kind of timid, kind of shy. And he also had some health issues, which I didn't really know that, but Paul had told him that he should drink a little wine for his stomach. And that was medicinal.
Medicinal.
There you go. For purposes. But he had, so I mean, kind of, you know, it makes you kind of wonder if he was kind of stressed out a lot. Where he'd get ulcers over things, you know. Maybe he couldn't let go of things like Paul could do, but you find that in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 23, that he was had some health issues. 1 Timothy 5, 23.
You go down and drink a little wine with your opioids.
Yeah. That's why she fell. And
you told me.
Oh, those are opioids.
Yeah. Opioids.
Ooh-wee.
Yeah. Okay. What do we know about Ephesus? And we already talked about that Ephesus today is located in Turkey. Paul spent a lot of time in Ephesus. We look at Acts 19. I think all of 19 talks about Paul being in Ephesus. It is a place where he went. What did he find there in Ephesus? What was Ephesus pretty well known for? You would find a lot of what?
False idols? Teachers.
Well, just a lot of idols.
Yeah.
And so Paul went, he went before the people of Ephesus in a, it was a huge theater.
Amphitheater.
It was outside. He was down in the middle there to speak to all the people who came. It must have been standing room only type of a thing. And this is where the crowd in Ephesus for 2 hours shouted in unison, what?
Heresy?
Well, what they were saying was heresy. But they talked about Artemis. Great is Artemis, which is a god that they worshipped. When Paul came to Ephesus, he had something to say about worshiping other gods.
Is that the one that they had an unknown god? Is that where they had the statues?
It's either there or Corinth. Okay. You know. Could be. I don't know. But you know, you think of 2 hours, you think, was that uncomfortable or what? Of being shouted at. Meaning that we don't care why you're here or what you have to say, this is who we are. We will worship, we will bring offerings to Artemis. Great is Artemis. Excuse me. So what happens, you know, 50 years when the church got started in Ephesus, Ephesus became really the place where Christianity really took hold. It was great. There were many Christians by numbers that were there. And geographically, it played a huge part in the spreading of Christianity. That was the first 50 years. And so even in that first 50 years, there was a time where almost the worship of other gods became a problem for those that were making a living at, like, silversmiths, making things of their gods that people would buy. That's how they make a living, where people just stopped buying silver. And that became a problem for the silversmiths, because they got up in arms of saying, like, hey, this guy has come here to our country, and now our occupation is pretty well done. Nobody's buying any of the things that we're making, like Artemis. So there were some real changes that was taking place in the early years. So Christianity at this time was being persecuted throughout the entire Roman Empire, and even here, because it was something new, and it was something that, of course, you know, if God is behind it, it's going to succeed, but you still will have opposition. And it's something more that, you know, even the devil or Satan would want to make sure we got rid of anything to do with Jesus and what Jesus accomplished on the cross. So for the first 300 years, the Christian faith was a lot of persecution. There's a lot of people who died standing up for the faith of Jesus Christ.
It says in here, too, that the false teachers were hard to combat, since they based some of their teaching on God's word, but do not rightly divide and interpret as a whole. I mean, so they had a little bit in there, but it was not interpreted the right way.
And it takes us right back to what Bobby said months ago.
The Gnostics.
Gnosticism.
Excuse us.
You're excused. We're just glad you came. Thanks for coming.
Yeah. Good to see
good
you.
Good to see you.
Gnost first howdy.
Yeah.
Great. Go.
Hang in there, Donna.
Yeah. So it's painful, I know. Painful. Yeah. Last question here that I've got is, what do we know about the church situation during this time in history? You know, if you've got lots of Christians in Ephesus, at this time there were no buildings known as churches. Because churches didn't really come onto the scene until 200 years after Paul dies. That you can get into the church, a place of worshiping the Lord. So what did they do during this time?
In their houses.
Yeah, people gathered in homes, and then they would pick a pastor or leader that would lead them. That's how they ministered to each other, but then as a greater whole, I mean, they could also encourage other people as they met them in the city. So, I mean, there were thousands of Christians in Ephesus. And they all met in homes. It was home churches. It's a little bit a lot like China today. China, there's home churches. Does the government like home churches?
No.
Does communism like home churches? No. What do they like?
Worshipping the Communist Party.
Well, yeah, be like a state church. Mm-hmm. They'd give their approval of, it's like Beijing today has like 4 state-run churches. You can go to church, but then the pastors that are there are going to be there because of the Communist Party.
There's like 20 million people in Beijing.
There's a lot of people.
4 churches for millions of people.
So I mean, when we were there, we stayed with this family. He asked if we wanted to go to church. And I said, house church? He goes, no. He goes, problem. If we went to something like that. Because a lot of them have to do that in secret.
Yeah.
In meeting. And if they are found out, you know, then the authorities can come and arrest them. Even today, they can arrest them and things happen to them.
Well, what were they preaching in these Communist Party churches?
Well, I didn't want to go there to find out.
No.
But it wouldn't, I guess it would just be something that, this is a good question. What do they preach? I mean, how do you, what happens if somebody who hears what's being preached often wants to make it a personal thing? But in China, this is what you have going on. E, the guy that we stayed with, he grew up in the 70s and was in what do they call that? Some revolution. What was it?
Mao Zedong.
Cultural revolution. Mm-hmm. Mao Zedong. And so everybody was given a little red book. And that's what they would wave. They would hold it up every day. And they would wave. And they would pledge their obedience to Mao Zedong. And what he had, what he wanted them to know in the little red book. Mao Zedong, at that point, they could have as many children as you wanted in China. But then what he did is he split up families. He took the siblings and sent them to different parts of China during the Cultural Revolution. So he was on a farm. He farmed up in it's the northern part of China.
Mongolia.
And so he lived in a barracks with other guys. They got up at 4 in the morning and they walked to the fields. And then they would walk back and then they would have one meal prepared for them. But he did that for, many years. And his wife, she was sent to kind of northeastern China, and she worked on a hog farm. And so she liked hogs. So when they met, he found, you know, that's when they found this all out type of thing. But at the end, Mao Zedong said that, you know, everybody could go back to be with their families. And then, because, I mean, sometimes the parents thought that their kids were dead. never heard anything from them. Mm-hmm. And they never knew if they'd ever see him again. But then they all came back home, and it was a different kind of a China. That's when Nixon started opening up China. Mm-hmm. And how did Nixon do that? Remember? What am I doing?
Sword fighting.
Ping pong.
Oh, I don't even know that.
Remember the ping pong?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Nixon went over there, and that's when China started opening itself up to the outside. Before, they closed it down. Anyone who was not born in China or was not Chinese was kicked out, put in prison, or killed. And so even anyone who could read, you know, if you go to colleges, the professors and things like that, they were looked upon as just not good people.
Trying to bring Western.
Yeah, they're trying to bring the Western culture into China. So what they would do is they would kill these professors.
Educated people.
Any educated, yep. Anybody had a book outside of Chinese, China, they were, that was it. Many of them jumped out of windows and jumped into rivers. They committed suicide as they knew that Mao was winning. And the person that Mao was fighting against was who?
I can't think of his name.
I can't think of his name either. But who's the name?
I don't remember.
Are the Chinese still allowed to just have one daughter?
Well, they're starting to change that.
Are they changing
that? Yeah.
But that was part of the Cultural Revolution, is that you could only have, was it one child?
One child.
Yeah, one child. So you have to choose.
Well, then didn't they kill?
And then they would kill the girls, basically. Because the boys were more valuable to have. And now they're finding out they got so many men and not enough women that they're changing those laws that you can have more.
So they're letting them have more than one child now.
Yeah. And of course, it gives them reason to kind of conquer other countries where there are more women as well. So it's kind of like you keep your eye on China. China is buying a lot of land where? Or has
here
been?
In the United States.
U.S. Here. And Canada.
Yeah.
And in South America. You know, they're buying.
Take over the world.
Even in Africa. They're in Africa as well. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's all part of the plan that we find that Jesus said was going to happen in the end times.
You know, we'll talk about people having church in the homes. I think there's still a sect around here that does that. Mm-hmm. In Hartley, I know they're. I knew the people. But
sometimes they're called two-by-twos.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Good people. They're very good people.
Yeah.
But I assume they still...
Don't know much about them at all.
I don't either. I just know all the ones that I knew that lived in Hartley were...
Good people. Yeah. You know, even the... have you heard of the Friends Church?
Mm-hmm. We had one.
It still is.
Arnold's Park, yeah.
Yeah, there's one in Arnold's Park. Mm-hmm. That is known as Quakers. It's a Quaker church.
There's one down by Pringar area.
Yeah. And so, I mean, the Quakers are different because they don't believe in a pastor. It's just basically people who come, and you sit around, and whoever's got a word from the Lord shares it, or reads from Scripture, and then talk a little bit about that. I mean, that's what.
But that's not all bad, is it?
Well, the thing of it is, it's you got to be careful, because you can hear some strange things.
That aren't
what the Bible's saying, but. Just because somebody goes like, well, I feel this is what it says. Well, one thing is do they really know that? Or they're just coming up with something because it was something to be said for that Sunday.
But in Arnold's Park, they do have a pastor.
I thought they did.
One that's on the strip there. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right next across from La Barca.
The Bible Conference in La Barca.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do have a pastor. He's a retired cop. You know. But he, you know, he hasn't really had any seminary training at all. But he's a retired cop, and he's just, he's a Christian. He's a, because I mean, that's where I go on Wednesdays to meet for prayer with some other clergy in the area. We meet there, and Gary is his name, is the pastor there. His wife is in the Akira, the Hilltop nursing home, because she had a stroke about 4 or 5 years ago. And he tried to take care of her as much as he could, but she got to be just too much. And so that's where she's at, and that's where he goes a lot, spends a lot of his time. 6 o'clock in the morning, he's up there because she's asking for him. Mm-hmm. And he'll be there till noon, and he'll kind of tell her he's got to go do this or something, and she'll say, okay, what time you'll be back? And he's got to make sure he's back by that time he tells her. Otherwise, she just has a meltdown and cries and goes into depression and all those kinds of things. It's a tough thing. But he's a great guy. He's a great guy. He's... Okay, we'll finish this. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's not 1 o'clock yet. And we started late, Sharon. You got here late. All right. I think I said the other thing is that, yeah, during this time, early Church of Christianity, it was under a lot of persecution until the time of Constantine. Constantine is when persecution was forbidden, and there was to be no more persecuting of Christianity or Christians or whatever. But I can't tell you when that is, Constantine. I know there's popes named Constantine, and there's emperors named Constantine. I don't know if this was an emperor or a pope. Must have been an emperor that would have done that. So that's some things about 1 Timothy, and then just finishing number, where are we at?
Four? Can we do four?
Four, yeah, that's where we go. Paul's goal for Timothy wasn't just to teach and preach the word of God, but to do it with faith. L-O-V-E.
Oh, yeah, put faith.
With love, yeah. Mm-hmm. Because they were getting a lot of preaching too by other religious leaders, but the thing that really separated Christianity was how it was presented and how it was given. To present it with love. 5, there will be false teachings, myths, and genealogies. What will these promote? If you've got these kind of things going on, what is
controversy?
Yeah, controversies. There's gonna be all kinds of controversies because of these things happening in the early church. Timothy is going to deal with people who have shipwrecked their blank.
Lives.
That can work. Faith. He's going to deal with people who have started out with the Lord, but then have gone away from Him. Shipwrecked their faith. How does this happen? By rejecting God's word. Shipwreck. Then the next page is basically the topics that you'll find, some of the topics that you'll find in 1 Timothy. That's all that A, B, C, D, E is about. That's kind of what you'll find in there. And that's what we'll be taking a look at as time goes on.
That was interesting. Mm-hmm.